Hare Krishna.
Everybody's gone, right? Yeah. Basically, everybody's gone.
We can start, Maharaj. You can keep coming.
Yeah, yeah. I'll come in automatically. Chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Purport. Vasudeva, the Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in the creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravana, Rani Kasipu, Kamsa, and others who were very powerful living entities were all killed by the Personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudeva has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him, and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared, even by pure personified. This indicates the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the horror and the hurdles of birth and death. End of the purport. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasidhubhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Subhada Mule Shnanam Puram Puramai Krishna Sutarama Chukta Dantasudeva Rupada Namaste Sangasara Dukha Jaladau Paditasya Karma Krodari Nakrama Karai Kavali Kutasya Duravashanani Garitasya Nirashrayasya Chaitanya Chandrama Madehi Padabalabhan Javadara Shashivarno Kopavesha Kishoro Sahachari Vinavrindai Kridamana Vijesho Atabara Titavesho Nila Pitam Varadyo Jagada Janma Heto Ramakrishna Natosmi Vantra Kopata Rubhishcha Kripasam Vibhaya Chala Hidana Kavane Vyavishnama Namah Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, every living entity from Brahma down to the ant is in the clutches of birth and death. Jatasya hi jubo mrityu dhruva janma mrtasya cha tasamara pariyaya yarte natham sojata marasi. Gita therefore says, one who has taken his birth, death is certain, and one who is dead, birth is certain, and the unavoidable discharge of your duties you should not lament. So, human life is meant for self-realization. Otherwise, they're considered to be walking dead men. As described in Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 23, verse number 56. It's Ye Nehaya Kamadanamaya, those whose work does not bring one to religious principles. Navidagaya Kalpite, and that whose religious principles does not bring it to renunciation. Natirta Buddhasegaya, and those whose religious principles do not bring them to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet is the reservoir of all holy places. Jivanapi, even though they live, Ratahi Saha, they're a walking dead man. So human life is meant to be a life of dignity in relation to the Supreme. And all your efforts of using your propensities, your Panch Karmendriyas and Panch Gyanendriyas, working senses, knowledge, acquired senses, is ultimately meant for achieving your potential. Just like at the time of birth, according to the nakshatra, the child's name is given. The idea of it in Vedic culture was that the parents wanted the child to live up to their propensities. They're not asking more than what the child can give, you know, like this. In the absence of that, parents don't know what the child can do, and therefore they push them to go beyond their propensities, which causes undue anxiety in the child, which causes suicidal tendencies. Just like I remember in Mumbai in the 1990s, you know, almost every day you pick up the stupid, you know, rag, you know, Kakveda, as the Gujarati friends there call it, the knowledge from the well, you know, whatever it is. And some kid, you know, HSC, SSC exam, you know, kid, 10th standard, 12th standard, and they're going to school, and their parents are pushing the kids to excel. And the kids are such an anxiety that will I pass the exam or not? So some of them commit suicide. And then, you know, and then afterwards, after the paper says they committed suicide, but they passed the exam. It's like operation successful, patient died. Same kind of thing. You know, so the idea is that one should not be artificial. You know, your kid is what they are, you know. And, you know, and we are human beings, we're all fallible. We are what we are. Straightforward communication is what is most important in every relationship. See, you can't get everything you want. You get everything that happens, according to karma. So destiny is what it is. Now, but yet, we're meant to try to go further. First business is, first things first, live up to what you can do. So, therefore, the parents, or the acharya in this case, gave names to the children to try to encourage them to increase their propensity to serve the Supreme, live up to that propensity. So the name acted like an elephant goad to impel the boy or the girl towards greatness. At least live up to what your nakshatras prescribe. What is your karma? Like that. Then, if you want to go further than that, then you have to approach somebody like the Supreme. Like Shiva Bhagavan tells in 6th canto, that when Parvati Devi, first of all, Parvati Devi, the personification of material nature, she is not a pushover. Durga Chati Iti Durga. She's a very heavy girl. And you cannot cross over her very easy. She's a very particular, demanding person. Yet, by the grace of Srimati Tulsi Rani, who she worshipped in the Himalayas, she got, as her lord, Lord Shiva, very scholarly, very powerful, expansion of the Supreme Personality of God Himself in charge of material nature so that she could revere Him as her pro. And so she was asking questions. So one of the questions was, Padma Purana is mostly Shiva Parvati Samvad, which is very, very good. And what's cool about it is that Shiva, at Parvati Devi, she asked the most touching, most amazing questions there. And, you know, it's very moving, the questions. They just grab your attention and they won't let you go. Because she's related to her Prabhu, his wife, so she can ask the most intimate and most delicate questions. See, which other people would be very scared to ask. But she's very straightforward. She packages it very gentle womanly in a very respectful way. And she asks it in a very nice way that impels Lord Shiva to speak. And he speaks very wonderfully. So, in this case, in the sixth canto, she asks the question, of all the worshipable personalities, what is the best? You know, amongst all the worshipable personalities of the universe, who is the best? So, Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam Sarvesham, of all those personalities that is worshipable, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Lord Vishnu is said to be the supreme. Tasmat Parataram Devi, but better than that, Tanyanam Aradhanam, Samarjanam. Worship that which is in relation to the supreme. And Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says in Bhakti Rasana Sundu that Atha Tadiyanam Sevanam Tulsiya. Therefore, we're going to discuss that which is in relation to Lord Vishnu, such as Tulsi. So she is really, 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 really powerful. And naturally, if you're going to be the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you've got to have some qualification and potency. Aside from poise, Tulsi means the most beautiful girl, very beautiful girl. But besides that, she's a big Tulsi. She performs severe austerities, and she's most astonishingly, most wonderful. And she is Lilavinana Kila Krishna Shakti, Vishwanath says. She's the pastime energy of Krishna. So, if you want to achieve Krishna, she can help you. And because in the material world, all of us are mixed blessings. We have gunas, we have doshas. And sometimes our doshas overcome our gunas. The nature of Satvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, some different times of our life, under different nakshatras and different circumstances, we go through rough patches, difficult times. At that time, our lower nature becomes prominent due to the mode of ignorance, due to the mode of passion, and we become bewildered and we start to wonder where we're going, as if we're going nowhere fast. So, if you take shelter of her, therefore she protects. Therefore, it was very nice. Pundarik says, Sri Vaishnava Acharya says in his Tulsi Stotra, which is very famous, that Tulsi Rakshitaka Sarva. Jagatita Charachara, Yavadirhanti Padani Krishtavai Bhagavadanari. Tulsi is protecting the moving and non moving. Moving and non moving, living entity, simply by being seen, she destroys their simple reactions. So, it's very nice. So, by taking shelter of her, she helps you, you know? And and she makes everybody happy, it's described. So ecstatic. So by serving her, it's described that by serving her underneath her chaya, then all types of problems go away. Svapna nashanarthaya sevita tvam mostute. But Purana says that by serving her, then your dusvapna, your bad dreams, troublesome dreams, troublesome problems become destroyed. This is why she's so nice. Now, she helps you go beyond. That's what's powerful. That whatever you and I can do, but going beyond that, she can help people beyond that. And that's ecstatic. Therefore, in Bharatiya Sanskriti Jiva, they always recommend to very much to take shelter of her by chanting japa, by kirtan, by sadhana, in her company. Because what's very wonderful is I was reading in this Haribhakta Shukadaya story about how Tulsi Rani purifies him in chapter 18 there. So one of the shlokas says that the young Yamadutas are talking to one Yajna Brahman there. We don't know why Lord Vishnu likes this plant Tulsi. He says simply by he's staying incognito in a forest of Tulsi, waiting for someone to offer him one single leaf. It's that amazing. So Krishna is always where she is. And so if you take shelter of her, then she'll help you achieve Krishna and make the names of Krishna more sweet. Everyone is fearful. But if you take shelter of somebody that always has Krishna, in case her, and chant Hare Krishna, then fear personified cannot act. And another thing, in Garuda Purana, Sarodara, it mentioned there, that there in chapter 8, it mentions there, that Tulasipa Tapaschaya, Tatrasipa Patapaha, Tatakriyamatita Rupam, Hiyanayanti Yamakinkara. That if you keep, where at the place where the shade of Tulsi is there, the house becomes a reservoir of all holy places, and Nayanti Yamakinkara, the servants of Yamaraj won't go there. We'll just speak of through Swapnam. I've had experience as a kid. Actually, I stumbled onto it. Let's just say, somehow or other, I have no idea why, she desired it to be done. So, when I was a 15-year-old kid, just going to the temple, first time, 74, then naturally, when you meet a new person, you ask, what can you do? You know, what can you do? How can you help us? How can you assist in the mission? What's your propensity? You know, and 15-year-old kids, they're just with their parents. They have their own qualities, of course. They have their own propensities, right? And they have their own... But the parents basically molded them the best they could, right? Before they let the kids loose to run here and there, you know. So, and you got to keep their nose clean and out of trouble, right? So they just... So my father turned me into a mali. You know, and I actually, to tell you frankly, as I was telling my father, he's like 89 now, that you know you're in middle age when plants become very attractive. You know? So I was actually reminiscing about my childhood and how important it was to be a gardener and take care of plants. And the best plant, of course, is her. So when I came to the temple and they asked, what is this kid good for? I said, I'm a mali. You know, I know how to chew, you know, mow the lawn, trim your roses. You know, something like that. I can help you with the plants. And then they turned to the Tulsi Pujari and said, can you engage him? And he smiled, my godmother, and said, sure. You know, and they gave, I had to get pots for her, cow dung, dirt for her, lamps for her, formica for the countertops, which I stole from my father's wood shop. And my father had so much formica, you know, one or two or three sheets, probably wouldn't even know it was gone, you know. And I was so scared of my father, I didn't even let him know either, you know. But he got the benefit anyway, lucky fellow. And she pulled me in. If you just render a slightly service to her, she pulls you in and makes your life successful. I had some story of a girl in Russia. She told me the story, her personal story, how she became a devotee cold turkey, meaning nobody preached to her. Nobody cultivated her. Her neighbor, who was a devotee, gave her a tulsi plant. She was going away in the middle of the winter from that city, 10 hours east of Moscow, to go back to Moscow and make money. Typical, householders got to bring in the cash, pay the bills, sum up. So she gave the tulsi plant to her friend. And the girl says, what's this? This is a plant from India. Well, what do I do? Just give it some water and sing songs. So that's what the girl did, you know. And she just sung any song that came to her mind, you know, you can imagine. But Tulsi Brahmi is Baba Brahmi. She just accepted the Baba. So she thought this girl is trying her best. So she tried to purify the girl. So within 2 weeks, this girl gave up meat eating and drinking. And for a Russian, that is a big deal, you know, because in cold climates, they eat meat and they drink a lot of liquor. To give that up, you know, is a big deal. So she gave that up. What kind of life am I leading? She became Antarmukha. I should lead a more purified life, more healthy life. So she gave that up. Then she got a Bhagavad Gita on the streets of that city, Nizhnyodhoka. And in the Gita, they had a stamp, you know, they always put a rubber stamp in there. Come to our temple, blah, blah, blah. You know, on the banks of the Volga, the Akka River. There's a Gornatai temple there. Come. So she went to the temple and took a little prasada. Go see the deity. She climbed the stairs. Next to Gornatai was growing some two plants where Tulsi Rani was. Oh, I got a plant like that. And everybody laughed. They understood. Tulsi Rani made her a devotee from scratch. So that's how powerful she is. See, it's very powerful. Many new people you can get Tulsi to and it purifies. I had another experience in Moscow. You know, when one devotee, Sadapriya, he's a Brahmin from, he's actually from Motila, you know, northern Bihar, southern Nepal, like that. Janakpur, actually.
Mithila.
Okay. Janakpur area. And his wife is a Brahmini from Haridwar area, like that, Uttaranchal. So he was giving me this, he was taking me to the hostel programs in Russia. So they have like a medical hostel where Indians and Southeast Asians, they go there for cheap education, 30% of an Indian education, sasta. We just got to cram Russian, which is not typical for Indians to do. They cram Russian, or that language, in 6-7 months, and you learn in that medium, and you go to college, and 3-4 years later, you graduate, and you go back home, and you make your money. You know, like this. So, and in this place, because Russians are all, you know, white-skinned people, and they're kind of a little standoffish towards Southeast Asians, to some extent. So, they stick everybody in one building. You've got the Pakistanis, the Nepalis, the Bangladeshis, the Sri Lankans, and they all play cricket together. You got everybody. And they got a little room, probably about half of this size. And you've got three divisions in there, because you've got three guys in there. So you have three little, like a part of, you know, like a plastic curtain or something. This is your space. So one of them would be a devotee, and he would keep a tulsi, small little tulsi plant. And then the roommates in there, you know, they're like, one of them is a sharabiwala, one of them is a chicken tikkawala, you know, like that. You know, you can expect, right? When they come from such diverse backgrounds, right? Basically now, previously, 50 years ago, India was more vegetarian than non-vegetarian. Nowadays, it's the other way around. Due to Kali Yuga Prabhava. So you can imagine, you know, what your roommate, you know, on the college campus might be, you know, like this. So, but Southeast Asian culture is that everyone should offer respects to the tulsi plant. Doesn't matter. What kind of person are you? You cannot offer obeisances to her. You know, give her some incense stick, offer her obeisances, be cultured. You know, be noble. You know, so no matter if you're a sharabiwala or a chikikawala, at least to keep the peace with your roommate, you will offer her obeisances. He will offer some incense, like that. So by that little service, they started. And that's all she requires. It's just a little bit of service. And then she started to do her magic. Within 6 months or so, they became antarmukha. And then they became glories, gradually, as they became cultivated. So that is her power, that power. Now, when you chant Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Andhya Lila, chapter 3, verse 137, Haridas Thakur tells his disciple from Benapur, Haridaspur. Her name is Lucky Hera. She's actually the personification of material energy. She was sent there by Ramchandra Khan to cause a scandal to make this sadhu fall down. But actually, he just wanted to give her the holy name. So, when she became a devotee, she requested him, please deliver me from my sinful background. And he told her that Nirantara Nam Lao, chant Krishna's name constantly. Kara, do. Or Kara's do with what? Do with your hands? Kara, Tulasi Sivan, serve her. And Acharan Pavichandra Krishna Acharan. And very quickly you'll get Krishna's lotus feet. It's big. So by serving her, very quickly you'll get Krishna's lotus feet by offering and rendering service to her. And she makes everything very clear. Now, everyone has fear, Maya. Because we've taken this material world, what will happen next? Life is always full of uncertainties, you know, and things are very expensive, you know. Like, family life is expensive, living is very uncertain. You may get kicked out. So, by taking shelter of her, we become peaceful. Dusvapna nashanarthaya. I had experience of that as a kid. When I was serving her, slowly, slowly, she changed my world. The president of the time in Atlanta, this was 1973, he gave us an order. Tulsi Rani was staying in a greenhouse, very kacha, just some 10 mylar thick plastic with a piece of wood in between, and another 10 mylar thick plastic. It wasn't even a solid plastic house, it was a kutcha plastic house. And they had huge snowsuits there, and they were always worried in the winter months. It got a little frosty in the winter. Down to maybe 0 centigrade, like that. Not much. -1, -2, and then by, 9 o'clock, it's on. Didn't even snow. Sometimes it would snow, but it wouldn't stay long. That was my childhood, I remember. So when I was there, they were always worried that the snow, the cold, something would happen. Maybe Tulsi's greenhouse might be affected somehow. So somebody should stay there at night with her. Now, in that house, it was ghostly haunted. In the place where I was staying, like 10 or 15 other brahmacharis would be ghostly haunted. And every night, the ghost would sit on her chest, and they would, lucky if you could sleep. You know, he had 10 or 12 guys sleeping in the room. And lucky if you would get to sleep. You would be lucky. You know, somebody, 2-3 times a night, you'd get attacked by some ghost. And you got to get up early in the morning, and you got to do your service, and good luck. But when I slept with her, there was no ghost. That's first day. But Kalyani Sukham Sarve Sriyo Vaishishtatavari, she makes everyone happy, women, shudras, workers, or vaishas, merchants, tathapare, people like that. Not scholars, just ordinary sanacharis, ordinary simple-hearted people. She makes them happy. So that's her quality. She's auspicious. So, and she gets so swapna. That's another cool thing. When I slept in her company, she gives sukshatna. So I had this, when I was coming back into the body, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, kid, I was in my sleeping bag, U.S. Army surplus sleeping bag, left over from the Korean War, something like that, all of drab, military drab, with chicken feathers coming to your mouth or something like that. They give it to you for $1 or something like that. You got a sleeping bag. So everybody in Brahmachari had your sleeping bag. So I'm on the rocks underneath Tulsi Rani, my sleeping bag. And I was coming back in the body at 3 o'clock in the morning, after 6 hours of sleep, you're waking up. And all of a sudden, I'm getting these visions of Mongol Arti, Devi Darshan, Lavatam Glass, Harinam Sankirtan. And then all of a sudden, before I even opened my eyes, I was analyzing the situation, the dichotomy. That in the ashram, the ghost sits on your chest, you'll be lucky if you sleep. Then not only there's no ghost here, but you're having a wonderful dream. Why? So when I opened my eyes, I saw her leaves, and I went, it must be her chaya. I did not have the Sanskrit. I had a hunch. But now I have the Sanskrit. But my understanding is, you know or you don't know. If she wants to be merciful, her pravaha, her power, does not stop by your knowing or not knowing. That's her power. Very astounding. And although everybody is fearful, by associating with her, there is no fear. You become very confident. And asamskrutam akoro, the hurdle of birth and death, that's what's nice. I have a godbrother who left his body of terminal cancer, spinal cancer, in Mayapur. Very good devotee, also from southern USA. At that same time, I made friendship with him. And, he went through his whole life, his household, he tried his best. And marriage broke down, ran to Mayapur, He was in Mayapur for some time, distributing books for some time. Simple-hearted guy. Then he developed terminal cancer and he went to Mayapur. And I found out about it from the Bahrain devotees. And I immediately changed my ticket and I dropped in. Didn't give a darn, the airline didn't care. They'll drop you anywhere, So they dropped me in Calcutta and I went to Mayapur. And I stayed a month with him. So I decided to put the Shastra into effect. So I was reading Chaitanya Bhagavat to him and I put a Tulsi above his body. Because it's described in the Sanskrit there in Garuda Purana chapter 8 that Tulsi Rani destroys the paint of being. And I was analyzing that. being. It's like Siddha, a situation. She destroys the pain of being. And being what? Then it dawned on me. Being a body, stupid. You're a Bhogapatra. Anybody's got this body is disease. She destroys the pain of being in a body. It's Tattvastha. The Sarupa Lakshana is she gives prema. And Tattvastha Lakshana is she destroys your pain. That's just like a subordinate thing that mothers do. They give comfort to their children. No? But the main thing is they give education, they give shelter. In this case, in her case, she gives you Krishna. That's her main service. Taking away the pain, that's just a side effect of her loving comfort, you know, home comfort. So I put that into practice. I put this Tulsi above my godmother. Now, the caretakers, the devotees that were taking care of him in the final stage of his life, they would remove Tulsi Rani and they would take her outside to serve her. You know, give her some light, sprinkle her, maybe give her a bath, you know, and they would bring another small Tulsi in. So there's a 5-10 minute gap. So I was reading Chaitanya Bhagavat to him. So when they removed the Tulsi, then I would ask him, Prabhu, how was your pain level before? The pain level was low, but now it's come back. Oh. And then we would tell the servants how to adjust it, try to make him comfortable. And I was continuing to read Chaitanya Bhagavat to him. Then they would bring her back. When they brought her back above him, how do you feel now, Prabhu? I would ask him. The pain is greatly reduced. Must be because of Chaitanya Bhagavat Gita, I said. I just continued reading. But in my mind, I thought, here it is. Garuda Purana said the shloka. I just tried to apply it. And now I have the proof. You know? The congregation for my godbrother is the proof. You know, so diseased persons, ladies in labor. I have a godmother, a Sanskrit pundit, whose wife is in the last month or so before she delivers her child. And I told him, according to that Purana, keep a Tulsi over her body. Hopefully, labor pains will be less. I said, it'll be interesting. Let me know how it was. You know? Because she told me something about her situation, and he told me some things, but they're both my friends, so I said, let's see. So it'll be very interesting. So, Yananama Vishnu Sagarda, Tata Sadhyati Muncheta. And by chanting Hare Krishna in her company, you become so peaceful. So peaceful. Fear personified becomes fearful. And if she destroys, and the name is not different from Krishna, so the name will also destroy. So you're getting two benefits, two main goals with one stone. No, you're getting two benefits. She's comforting, the Jagadatri, Tulsi Rani, she's comforting. She's destroying Duswapna, Nash, and Arthaya, Tulsi Stava of Shrishtikanda Padma Purana. Duswapna, Nash, and Arthaya, she's destroying Duswapna. Okay? Sevita Tvam, Namusate, those who serve you, all glories to you. And the Nama, the holy name of Krishna, is destroys both. There's another interesting verse in that connection, very similar to this. Sixth Canto, chapter 2, verse number 15, where it says there that Padita Skalita Bhavina, Sandashtastapa Ahata. Harer ityapasenaya puma nayati yata. That if someone chants Hare Krishna, patita, they may fall down. Skalita, they trip. Bhagna, and their bones are broken on the road. Sandashta stapa ata, and any type of difficulty, they'll scream out. Harer ityapasenaya. Obeisances to Lord Hari, Puma, such a person, Nayati, will not, Yatana, will not fall to Yatana, a low birth. They chant Hare Krishna and die. somehow or other. You're saved from a very low situation by the holy name of the Lord. And a similar shloka to that is 12 Canto, chapter 12, verse number 47. Pretty much the same thing. Couple of words are different. But it is Kaito Bhagana Sandasha Stapaata. Something very similar in that sloka. 12:47. Extremely close. So the point is that Vyasadeva makes this point again and again to drum into our heads how important it is to chant Hare Krishna. Anything that we still own at the time of death, the holy name is all we've got. Leela Snarana is all we've got. And our friendship with devotees gives them. There's never any guarantee. Taxes, death, is what's guaranteed. Taxes, death, these are guaranteed anywhere. But so Hari Nam should be on the tongue. As the Agyata Kavita says in Hari Namastaka, that Nishla, I think it's shloka number 3, Nishla Seya Nahi Vishwasa, you should never have any faith. Kadarudoba Vishati, in the time which you may depart. It means you don't have any certainty at which time your life breath will be the last. Nishvasaya nahi vishvasa kada rudo bhavishyati, what time will come and you will stop. Your Jyotish can give you a rough idea, a ballpark. What do you do with that ballpark idea, rough idea? You make your plans to serve Hari. Like I just did at Panchakar in South India. The devotee who did it is from an exalted family of North India, and he's also a Jyotish. So he looked, and I asked him, when am I supposed to leave? Now, according to strict Ayurveda, astrology, you're not supposed to tell sadhus when they leave, because their life is in Hari's hands. And you know, it's only approximate, because ultimately the life is in Hari's hands. So he told me, approximately, it looks like this. And I thought, good. This means I've got 25 to 29 years of writing. And good. And I told Tulsi Chai, good. I'll make my plans, and I have like 4 years for Nirjan budget plan. And leaving, he said, at this stage, at a particular stage, you can leave like Bhishma. You can discuss it with the world, you can throw it. You know? And what happens? I see that it continues further. Oh, you know astrology says there's no guarantee. There's no, you know, 100% assertion. Therefore, if Krishna wants you for some particular purpose, then you can stay longer. But I don't see anything more after this particular date. So it means almost a century. Not more than that. Could be 80, 82, could be more than that. You know, like that. And it's reasonable. So you take shelter of her. What's far out is this, that whatever we are is by our karma. And that's what the parents and the acharya want you to do. Serve Krishna according to your karma. And if you can just do that, then everybody says, they're okay. You know, that girl or that boy did the best they can, and that's okay. We shouldn't demand more. But privately, we have our individual capacity. And that, if you want to go beyond that, you have to take shelter of somebody divine. There's actually nothing that she cannot do. There's nothing that she cannot help you get, either. More than an ordinary mother. She can help you get more. And like any mother, she'll inspire you, she'll sweet talk you, she'll coddle you, she'll kick you, she'll do whatever you've got to do to make that child grow a lot better. And that's what's astounding. I've seen it in my childhood, and now I've got the Sanskrit to prove it. So, Sanskrit pramana means something. If you have Purgashrava, if your faith is good, then one pramana is enough. One pramana is enough to motivate you. Evidence. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I should do it. Right? As in the Asura and Sura Vibhaga, 16th chapter of Gita, the divine and demonic natures. And Krishna's telling us how to discriminate. Then it's described there in Shloka 24, the last one. Tasma shastra pramanam te karya apakarya vimastati. Your discrimination should be based on shastra pramanam. What should be done, what should not be done. Gyatva shastra vadamuto. Once you understand what has been said there in the shastras, karma kartum, you deserve to act like that. RSC. RSC means you're an exalted person, you're a cultured person, you deserve to act like that. RSC. It also means if you're intelligent that you should do like that. But gentlemanly speaking, it's you deserve to do like that. You can't twist people's arms. You have to inspire them. You have to empower them to take shelter of something superior. That's how powerful she is. You deserve to do like that. You know? So it's very interesting. So if you have one sudrida, if you have dhrida shraddha, one pramana is good. But if you have kumbha shraddha, then you better get four or five. That's what Sanatana Pad does, like in Hari Bhakti Balas, you know, like Ekadasi Vrata. For the mandatoriness of Ekadasi, just to kick us who are lazy in Kali Yuga, he gives like four or five pramanas from different pramanas, why you should do it. And when you read those four or five pramanas, you start to think, hey, am I missing something here? Maybe I'm missing an opportunity due to my laziness or something. Here's an opportunity that is just waiting to be grabbed. Now, am I missing this opportunity by not applying? That's what it does. Four or five of my life, am I missing something? Otherwise, you think, wait a minute, I never heard this before. Probably never told us this before. You know, we never learned this from my Bhakti director or, you know, like this. Because why? Because in Kali Yuga, Harinam is the most important thing, you know. We're lucky to be in China rounds, you know, with the speaker. With the speaker, do it yourself. But what's nice about it is that this extra sage will improve your life if you can apply it. So it's very cool. And the more I sense what I get my fingers on to understand her prabhava, her power, the more happy and confident I'm getting. It's cool. But what I really like is that the Shastra is telling you that there's nothing that she cannot do, and there's nothing that she cannot help you do. And she can protect living entities from moving and non-moving living entities. She's situated everywhere. Mm. She's merciful. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's sweet. And she's kind. And she's compassionate. And all these wonderful qualities of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a very wonderful feminine way. And it's also very intelligent. She can give Krishna on a platter. It's like, let's be practical. You know, when you're making friends with somebody, you know, you take their mobile contact, right? You take their mobile number. If you want to be smart about it, he said, Prabhu, can you give me your wife's number too? Just in case your mobile switched off and have trouble getting a hold of you, can I have your wife's number? No. Because, hey, Ma, where's your Prabhu? You know, he's right here, you know, or something. Well, she at least knows where the guy is, you know what I mean? So it's quite smart. So if you want to get a hold of Lord Krishna, get a hold of his wife. She'll open doors close to you. She'll put your foot in the door, you know, and it's wonderful. It is wonderful. So Bhakti means this. And another thing I have to state, in First Canto, chapter 6, verse 33, Narada Muni, when he's talking to his disciple, Vyasadeva is asking, you know, how did you become a devotee? You know, it's like that kind of thing, you know, so I can learn from your experience, who are they? So Narada is telling about his childhood. And there, he was telling Vyasadeva that I was wandering here and there chanting Hare Krishna. And when you chant Hare Krishna without any desire, with any agenda, without any motivation, just to please Krishna, that Krishna runs on those holy names as if you call him. You're calling him to come. The name is not different, but you have to call it with love. And then he comes. There's a godbrother of mine in Mayapur. For those of you who go, We go once every 5 years or something. I'm over in Dalton, Bubba, to tell you frankly. My Ethel is once in a while for me. I have some buddies there, you know, I don't have a problem. I'm in charge, never had a problem with to my Ethel. You can sleep anywhere. Basically, you have your buddies, they'll take care of you. But my Ethel, I go once every 5 years. Only. So, Murari Gordy is his name. Very great Bengali godmother of mine. Singer. Very famous. So, must be in the 60s, mid-60s, something like that. So, his father was Dharani Dara Das. Probably, basically, Prabhupada's generation. Even though he was a disciple of Prabhupada's godmother. But, he was born about 1902 and left his body about 1995. At the age of 93. And just 2 weeks before he gave up his body, I got a starship. And his grandson took me over there. His grandson, of course, a little wild now, you know, like that. But he took me over there. He just happened to be in my uncle at the time, so I grabbed him and I said, let's go see the grandfather. So he took me across the Jalangi, you know, to Sarabhaj, and I took darshan of his father. And so, I asked him about that. That, because the problem with many devotees is, how do you chant when we have distractions? How do you chant if you do not have such shraddha? How do you chant the name if you have difficulties? So, when I asked Dharani Dara that question, how do you chant Hare Krishna if you have no ruchi, no taste? He replied that chant the name of your friend and then he'll come. So, then I started to think of Gita, chapter 7, verse number 20, I think. Naham prakasha sarvasya, no, 25. Yoga maya samarata mudo yam navi janati yoga maha majamabhyam. I am not manifested in the foolishness and intelligence. But then I'm covered by my illusory energy. They don't know understand my potency, transcendental and supreme. So I asked Dharani Dara, like, not exactly challenging, but it was like, because, you know, when you talk with Bengali intellectuals, it's like candy for them. A debate is like candy for them. If there's fighting, if there's intellectual arguments, something, they might like, relish it. Like a fight for a chhatri, you know, they just like tighten their belt, this is fun, you know. You know, they love it, you know what I mean? It's like adrenaline is flowing, it's cool, you know, they love it. So when I pushed him, and you say, chant the name of your friend, and then he'll come. You know, real shraddha, he's, of course, he's superior. So I accepted it, but to understand it further, I just flipped it back at him. Well, why will he come? Krishna says, I'm not forced to come. I'm not manifested to the foolish and intelligent. So if a devotee is foolish and intelligent, then why will Krishna come? Why will he come? Then his eyes were big. As if my samshaya, my doubt, is not healthy. He was so soft-hearted. And his eyes were soft. And his eyes were big and soft. Like, no, that's not proper. No, he said, check the name of your friend, and then he'll come. And he was so positive, he'll come. And I thought, this only Vaishnava, he's checking Krishna so nicely. Krishna is coming. But Krishna's not coming to me. So how does Krishna come to this Vaishnava, and I'm not getting Krishna? There must be a quality to his chanting. So that's when I asked his grandson about his schedule, he told me. 2 weeks later he left. But I never forgot this statement. Because Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, a moment association with a sadhu means abhyasana. Desesha amritapan abhyasana. You take some specific nectar from that Vaishnava and you apply it. That is sadhu sangha. It's not, otherwise, what did you get? All you got was eye exercise and ear exercise. Like Bollywood movie, Dave McGibbia, you know. Turn on the switch, and then turn the switch off, you know. Push love, hey. Moves out, you know. Nothing there. What was it? I exercise and your exercise. It's more than that. Sattva Sangha means Visesha Amrita Pan. Drink some specific nectar and abhyasa. Grab something profound and apply it. When you apply it, that is Sattva Sangha. When you apply it, then you get vigyara. You get some realization. That is Sattva Sangha. You'll never forget that for the rest of your life. It's impressive. It is described in Hitopadesha. Education means that which changes tangibly. The Sanskrit there says, just like a clay pot can never be changed after it's baked in the fire. In the same way, Shiksha through stories is given to make an indelible impression on the mind of the student. Indelible impression. You get some impression and you do it. So in this case, Apana Samshatam Gauram, everybody who's entangled in the hurdle of birth and death, Yanama Vishvasagrana, if you obtain the holy name of Krishna, Tata Satya Vimun Cheta, immediately you'll become free. Yavaveti Swayam Vayam. Now this is about the fear personified, afraid of Krishna's name. And to become even further empowered, you chant under her, and her chaya also is comforting and destroys fear. It's good. Now, how are you going to know that? You have to do it. Shubhasya chasa singro. There's something to shub. Do it now. Don't wait. So, about her chaya, it's very interesting. Like a small tulsi plant, you can put a light behind her so the shadow falls on you. You're not supposed to step in the shadow. Yes, but you can take shelter of the shadow. It's a different story. We're not asking you to trample on our shadow. We're asking you to take shelter of the shadow. It's a whole different thing. You know? And when you do that, it's great. If you can get underneath the shade of the leaves, that is even better. The chai is better. That means you got to get very close to that plant. But it is ecstatic. There's nothing. And when you chant her name, she'll come. Tralokyavyapani ganga yata sastesu giyate tathaiva tulasi devi trishtateja jarachare. Padma Purana Tulsi Sava, Srishti Tandon says, that just like the Ganga is manifest in the upper, middle, and lower planetary system, that Taiva Tulasi Devi, in the same way, Dushyatesha Charachare, she's seen everywhere, expanded everywhere. That's one way of it. So Charachare, she's seen everywhere. But Charachare means in the moving and non-moving living entities. This means she's everywhere. Just like Krishna is within the heart, his wife is not. Come on, of course she must be. She is there within the heart. If you call her name, she goes. If you take shelter of her, she goes. Now, if you, this idea of viraha, separation, or smriti, to be able to remember, it becomes prominent by sangha. By sangha. By Pratya Sati Vidayani Bhagavata Krishna Sasandro Vida Bhaktira Samrit Sindhu. This is 1-2-203. Says that by Pratya Sati Vidayani, by associating with her, Bhagavata Krishna Sasandro Vida, she plants Krishna in your heart. So by chanting with her, you're impressed. And under her chaya, you're more impressed. So when you have to go here and there, because obviously you're living here in the concrete jungle of Dubai, Sharjah, Mecca, you've got to go here and there, huh? And the bill's not going to come. Nahi sukta sesengasya prabhashanti muke muka. It is not, Hitopadesha said, it is not that the lion is the king of the forest. And sukta sesengasya, the sleeping lion, prabhashanti muke muka, that the animals will enter his mouth automatically. No, you've got to work. So, going here and going there, you remember her. See, if you get a nice experience in your sadhana, in her company, then when you're going here and going there, you'll remember her. And when you remember her, you feel the same thing. Increasingly, you'll feel the same protection in her name and in her Shruti as being physically there. And then you chant Hare Krishna and you feel great. And this is what Sadhana Bhakti is about. But you don't get it in this What was amazing in my childhood is that you didn't have to know Sanskrit to get a hunch about her power. But anumana, opinion, logic, is called in Sanskrit anumana. Anu is to follow. Manaha is mind or opinion. Following of the mind or following the opinion of what? What is it following? Shastra Brahmanam. So if you've got Sanskrit, if you've got Brahmanam, then you've got a following. And if you don't, then what are you following? Manaso jati, mental speculation, that which is born of the mind, you know. If you've got logic, you know, right now I'm just not happy enough with English anymore, I'm sorry. It's my mother tongue. And if it looks like, it looks like it could be a translation for sure. But where's the Sanskrit? Where's the Bengali? Where's the Acharya's words? You know, we want the smoking gun evidence. We want real evidence, you know. That is what Vaishnava is. And then anumana, logic. And then logic means arhasi. You deserve to act like that. Abhyasana. Do it. And if you do it, you feel, this is great. And you feel happy. You know? It's great. So, Hare Rama, thank you very much. We're going to stop here.
Yeah.
It's a good shloka. With this shloka, we can see 3-4 different shlokas from Bhagavatam from different places that concur. Any questions? Please keep questions. Whenever you meet any senior, always ask questions. You never know when you're going to get an astounding answer. See? Even if it's the same question, you just turn it on to somebody's others. The more permutations you get to your question, the more lively you'll be. And if you get an answer that astonishes you, you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. And that is sadhu sangha. So, please keep questions. It's very good.
Maharaj, I have this question about this Govardhan Puja. We recently had this Govardhan Puja.
Yeah, we recently had Govardhan Puja, right. So
we made this Anukut and we offered go to the Anukut.
You made this hill.
Yes, Anukut.
Mm-hmm. You made the hill with grains and so on.
Yes.
Right. And?
So, the...
And you're offering the Bhogat to the Anukut.
Also.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. So I didn't get this logic of like, you know...
The logic is you take the Govardhan Shila and you put it on top of the Anukut. The Govardhan Shila eats all those preparations.
But we don't have a Govardhan Shila.
Yeah, and then you stick your Govardhan going to tie or something like that. The point, you have to be reasonable.
So the
food,
the Anna on the Anukut is not...
In Dvitiya Govardhanastaka. I think it's shloka number 3, Rupa Goswami's Dvitiya Govardhanastaka. He says, Avishkritya prakatam ukata topamangam saviya shailo shmriti sputam abhidata tushti vishvarya drishti yasmai krishna swaimara sayat palavir tatkamanam danya so yam pratayatu sada sharma oparatunongam. He says that Sri Krishna manifested a giant form of himself, which was separately manifested from the hill. And he declared, I am this hill. And with the twinkling eyes, Tushti Vishvarya Tushti, with satisfied eyes, glancing at everyone, Yasmai Krishna, then Krishna, Swayam Arasaya, he accepted it. Balavir Tattamannam. He accepted all the grains which is offered by the coward men. Danyaso Yam. May unto you this Govardhan give you so much opulences, so much wealth. Pratayatu Sada. May it become manifested. Charmable and charmingly. Become manifested charmingly all the time unto you. Charmable Vardhan. There's the Brahmana Mother. Did you go over to ask him? The usual tradition is the devotees put Govardhan Shiva. Now, there are many devotees. You know, Sindhu Mata is one. And there are some devotees that have Govardhan Shiva. So what you do is that basically you plug it in. You know, you invite them, please come, bring your Shiva to our party. You know, and you know, get all the ladies together to make a hill. You know, and it's a joint endeavor. You know, it saves you time for having to do, you know, separately small programs. Make it, put it, a joint effort, put it together, put a peak here, make it nice, you know. And you put a Govardhan Shiva on top, and you wish. Now, you know what I used to do was cool? Let me tell you this, for next year. What you do is you get like a kumbha, you know, like a either a clay pot, or you put some copper pot, tampa, and you put a little jelly, a little kind of like a screen on top of that, okay? Right? And you bathe the Govardhan Shiva on top of that, and it turns out it stays there, right? And you put some kapra on top of that jelly, and you dress that Govardhan Shiva up, and you stick him back on top of the hill. And then you offer a full arti to him, as everybody does. You know? And that's cool. It's a very neat festival. I did it like that in 1984, and I think it was New Orleans. And they said, this is the festival. So that's how you should do it. Put Shiva there. You put some cows. We used to put broccoli trees, you know, and put, you know, chickpea boulders and all types of fun, you know, we used to put on the hill.
Can I ask you any other questions, if you don't mind? Can I ask you general
questions
also, apart from...
Yeah, first of all, we should take questions basically in relation to the lecture. She asked about Govardhan. And I have a little soft spot to record on, so it's a little hard not to. First, we should ask for questions that are in relation to the lecture. We talked about the holy name. We talked about Tulsi. We talked about chanting everywhere. We talked about getting free from fear by chanting Harinam. We gave you some ideas on how Harinam can be strengthened if you're a little lazy, like me, and, you know, you need a kick in the pants in a good way, you know. And, you know, so you take shelter of your mother, and she'll kick your pants, you know. And most, she'll give you a good hug, and she'll also push you a little bit to do good. So anybody first have a question on the class that I gave?
Can we chat?
Then we'll go back to his general question. Don't leave me, okay? We'll come back to you.
Can we chant Haresha Mahamandra after sunset near Tulsi Maharani?
Can we chant Hare Krishna Mantra? When?
After the sunset.
After sunset. Yeah, because it says in the last shloka of this Tulsi Stava, is shloka number 20, Dvadashi Jagare Ratro Yapate Tulsi Stava Dvatim Shar Aparadams Chakshamyate Tarsike Shava. If somebody chants on the Dvadasi night, the Tulsi Stava, you know, of these 20 shlokas, then Dvatim Shara Varadams Cha, 32 offenses, knowingly or unknowingly committed, Chakyate Tasya Keshava, Krishna will tolerate it. Krishna will forgive it. Kshama means to forgive. Kshama means to tolerate. Forbearance. Krishna will more or less believe you. My understanding, by talking with Fakir Mohan, you know, like Jagaran, Akadasi Jagaran used to be a 2-day festival. It's basically a Dasami and Akadasi festival. Now, if somebody pushed it a little more and stayed up another night for her, that is pretty good quality devotee. That impelled Krishna to be merciful. That's one thing, you know? So, there's a tough selection. From that reading that shloka, maybe understand that she doesn't sleep at night. So if you have some rounds left to chant, you can definitely, you don't turn the, you know, you don't necessarily turn the lights on. You can't be with her. And at nighttime, I would be the walk in a Tulsi garden, you know, in her company, like that. See, the problem is that there's three unspoken rules of late night chanting. Don't stop chanting, don't stop moving, and don't sit down. Now, if you do any of those three things, you won't finish your rounds. don't stop moving, don't stop chanting, and don't sit down. So you don't sit down with Tulsi. You probably have to stand, you probably have to move. Although in Arya Bhakti-vilasa it mentions you shouldn't shake your head and you shouldn't move, but you gotta be real, You gotta change your manners. I even asked my sannyas guru, a friend of mine, that I have problems sometimes, being conscious when you're chanting Gayatri, for example. And so I asked him about that. And he told me that, personally, I've had times when I was exhausted and I would go up and chant my Gayatri. Because the more important thing is consciousness. I have another trick up my sleeve. Another devotee gave me some nice Sanskrit mantras to chant in addition to that, to help kick your Gayatri. Your consciousness, absorption of Gayatri. And I like that. And when I do that, my Gayatri is much better now. So I have to approve that. I have to like that. So it's good. Don't stop moving. You can chant underneath. You just can't collect your leaves. Collecting your leaves is described in the Puranas to be from sunrise to noon. And not in the afternoon, not without having a clean cloth, not without having a bath, not after breakfast, it says, not after you're contaminated, and not in the evening, not in the night. So when I was reading it, and then it said also, not on Sankranti, not during Sankranti. Sankranti means Amavasya, Purnima, Pratipat, Panchami, and Chaturdashi, and Dwadashi. And in that shloka, quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, I think it's 354 or something, 353, 354, the time's forbidden to collect tulsi. Sanatana Pad says, Sankranti Adho, by that, generally it means for the Vaishnavas, Dvadashi. But it's basically optional. The Sri Vaishnavas, they surely do it. So this means you should keep a panchika next to your tulsi. To know what days you shouldn't collect. It's optional. But then it also opened up another Pandora's box. If it's Tik Darshan Tikka says generally Dvadashi, then is Dvadashi better than there's other Sankranti days? And if so, why? Just like it makes me start to think I got to talk with some Jyotish that really knows the days better. Why would Dvadashi be better than Purnima, Amavasya, Chaturdashi, Pratipat, Panchami? Why? See, I have to find out, really. Otherwise, how could I distribute it? I have to find out. But it's interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting. So you can chant at night. You cannot collect your leaves, but you can do it. Like, I'll give you an example. Suppose if you consider yourself to be her child. Suppose the mothers, they know. When children are very small, they get scared. And if they scream the name of their parents at 11 o'clock, they have some duswapan. Right? And they scream the name of their parents at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, tiger, or ghost, or whatever it is. And the parents have to come to pacify the child. Now, the parents feel offended that why did my child scream and wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning? And the parents take offense. Of course not. The child is a child. They need help, And it's my duty as a parent to give them help, isn't it? The parent doesn't take offense, isn't it? So it's an understanding of it. The point is that if you have Ashaya, if you consider her to be your mother, and you appreciate her company, then she's ready. She's 24/7 available. Rani is basically, if you consider her to be your mother, or like another example. When the last stage of pregnancy, the lady can sometimes feel the child kicking. Isn't it? Is the mother offended when the child kicks the lady? Right? Or suppose you have a toddler, and the toddler is standing on the mother's lap. So she steps, the toddler steps on some touching part of the lady's body. Does she take offense of that? Or she understands the toddler is a toddler, They don't take offense. We shouldn't be worried. We're not worried about, is it aparadha? Like at nighttime, when your deities are closed, the deities are still there. You can still think of them, like that. But there's nothing like sakshat darshan sometimes. Is it offensive? No. But it's interesting that Tulsi Rani done chaturanga, you know, because it's considered to be a level of advancement to be able to chant night and day. Such devotees can chant sometimes for days and days. They give up their sleep, they give up their eating for days and days, and they don't consider it to be something amazing. They become very accessible in there, and you don't even know it. Like, I was reading the biography about one devotee. He left his body on the day that January 30th of 1948, you know, when Mahatma Gandhi got shot, same day. So this Vaishnava left his body on that day. But he was such a wonderful devotee that for those who served in the mud, they did not know what time he got up, because he got up before everybody else did. And they did not know what time he took rest, because he took rest after everybody else. So nobody knew what time he got up, what time he slept. That was the way he was. But that was the way that many devotees were in that generation. Jagannath was much easier for your grandfather and grandmother. They were more dedicated. Like when I asked Bhakti Mohan, but how do they do it? How does kirtan, without kirtan, forget it. But then, how do you do kirtan when you're doing their job? You have 3, 4, 5 parties, you know, to change the kirtan part. And how did you stay awake? They put a lamp on the head, and it fell off. It would get on your clock. Well, you better wake up and put it back. And not only ordinary people, the king of Orissa, you know, the head honcho, he did it. You know, the head guy, the head fellow, he did it. And therefore, naturally, the Anugas, the followers, they also fell in line. Interesting stuff, isn't it? Then these generations were amazing. Grandfathers, great-grandfathers. We can't even come up to the mutra now. You know, we just can't even come up to nothing. We're very fallen. Yes, we're very fallen. This means we should take shelter of our mother, Tulsi Rani, a lot more. A lot more. So don't worry about it, Prabhu. Okay? Other questions in relation to class? Yes.
Maharaj in temple, Arati for Tulsi Narayani.
Yeah.
Before sunrise and after sunset.
What is your question about offering our Arati before sunrise and after sunset?
In temple.
In temple.
In temple. In house, can we do in the after sunset, sunrise?
Yeah, in the temple, they're offering. Generally, it's described that Brahma Muhurta is 1.5 hours or something before, 45 minutes before, 1.5 hours before sunrise is Brahma Muhurta. So if you do the Mangala Arati, and then after the Mangala Arati, you're worshiping Tulsi, sometimes still the sun is not up. But they're worshiping Tulsi Rani at that time. But according to Brian, you shouldn't collect your leaves until the sunrise. You can do an Arati. In the evening, usually Sunday Arati, because we weren't tired, whatever, and then afterwards you do an Arati. It's optional, believe me. When somebody asked Guru Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, about it, he said, you can offer a deepa midnight. You can keep a lamp next door. Part of the Tulsi Sabbath, they had like some little place, you know, a little lamp in the floor. Nice. Yeah, you can offer. Now, my realization about that, it's just like, for example, my understanding of it was that, although we do the arati for her, right, but what does that mean? It is basically a token of your appreciation. You know, you're appreciating somebody, you're giving them veneration, respectful veneration. That's what an arati is, really. Respectful worship, veneration for a worshipable personality. Okay? Just like, for example, in Bharatiya Sanskriti Jivan, our parents are worshipable. It was described that in the old days, when the child would wake up in the morning, they would take their bath, and then they would come to their superiors and talk to them and touch their feet. And although the parents were always, you know, burdened by the burden of their children, they would be so pleased that, you know, in the early morning hours, if a child came and touched their feet, the mother and father would be prepared to give any benediction the child asked. You know, that was Indian culture, you know, like that. That's just the nature of it. So in the same way, you know, when you're offering an arati to her, it is basically the child's token of appreciation. My understanding of it, from at least from a Vedic perspective, because I come from that background, you know, like a child would take some money from his allowance and buy his mother a purse or a scarf on her birthday. You know, mother, this is a token of my appreciation. I'm giving you this purse, this scarf, you know, like that. But then it's just a token. Now, if the child takes shelter of the mother, my mother, in school, the children are razzing me. What am I supposed to say to them, you know? When a child takes shelter of the mother, that's much more closer. When you're actually taking the mother as an advisor, you follow me? Much, much more closer. Much closer. Much closer. So, our teaching can go on now, but go beyond. Go beyond to a real relationship. How do you go beyond? Guna Gan. That's how you go beyond. You know, the Gordon Thai and the Dhananath should not be just simply eating goes. They'll eat if there's love, right? But more than that, have a relationship with them. How do you have a relationship? Guna Gan. With your Gordon Thai, you chant their glories. With Jagannath, you chant their glories. With Radha Krishna, you chant their glories. Kiri Raj, chant their glories. Tulsi Rani, chant their glories. When you memorize and chant their glories, then the deities pull you in by those glories. And you become really tight. The love will come. You're bound up in the ropes of love. By Guna Gan. That helps you go beyond the ritual of the arati. Guna Gan makes it that you are part of the Lord. Amito tomar, tumito amar, kika jayapuri thon. I belong to you and you belong to me. Is there any other wealth in this world? Yes, Thakur Bhakti will not mention that. Atma Nivedam section, version number 8, in Sharanagati. That clear? Arati is good, morning and evening, or at least once a day. Yes, very good. But go beyond by making a sambandha relationship with that, with the deity. Tulsi Rani, with Gordon Thai, Jagannath Balaji, Sumatra, Radha Krishna, Kundalini. And then it's nice. Okay? What's your question now? Your side, your side around your question.
My question is, you know, it's karma theory and life after rebirth and rebirth. If the bad deeds are carried forward to the next birth, if you don't know, realize though that it's carried forward.
If the bad deeds, first of all, are the bad deeds carried over? You're saying if the bad deeds are carried over.
If the bad deeds are carried over.
Is there a Shastra Brahman that the bad deeds are carried over? You mean, carried over means what? Reaction? The reaction of, like, suppose you murdered somebody in your past life. And this life, you're getting trouble by the government, or somebody's trying to kill you. They're threatening your life. Maybe I threatened somebody in a previous life. Carried over, is that what you're saying by carried over?
Yeah.
Meaning reaction? What do you mean by carried over?
The Brahman karma theory, we carry over the good and bad is the next birth or whatever.
It is prarabdha karma. There's prarabdha karma is karma that is manifest. Not prarabdha karma is karma that is subtle, that is unmanifest. Kuta bijam phalam bhuka. In Sanskrit, a kuta is a prior, is seed-like. Bija is the seed-like state. Bija is producing the seed. Phalamukha, the seed is ripe. You know? Krame neva paniyata vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. Although by step, those three things happen. Krame neva paniyata, these things can happen. Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. By developed vishnu bhakti, attachment to that, then these things can become destroyed. So the prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. Now what's the question about prarabdha and aprarabdha karma? Karma that you're carrying over, it's like fruits you're carrying over to the next life. Bad deeds you're carrying over. Good deeds also, Baba. But anyway, what's the question about it?
If we don't realize that we carry forward those things, how do we stop doing bad deeds and doing good deeds? We should realize that what we have done is been...
How do you stop doing it? If you do not know what we did wrong, so how do we stop doing it? Is that the question?
How do we realize those things what are happening now?
How do we realize what are happening now? First thing is, you cannot be accepted. We don't know what we did wrong last time. How do we know what we're doing wrong now? How do we know what's happening, good or bad now? If we don't know what we did wrong, then how do we know how to move forward?
We might have...
The question is, what is the justification of good and bad deeds? Like, if we say next karma will be better if we do good things now, or we did good things last birth.
Good things or bad things last birth.
So what's the justification for being good or bad?
Is that what you're saying?
No,
evidently not, because he doesn't agree with you. Do you agree with what he's saying?
Can I make it simpler?
No, wait a second. He tried to make it simple, but it didn't look like it worked. And if you try to make it simple, I don't know if it's going to work either. You know, you got to do it. You got to sit next to him and you got to say, is this what you're trying to say? You know? He just tried to do it, and it didn't look like it worked, you know? I'm not trying to put you down as if you're not going to get it right this time. What are you trying to say, you know?
My present birth, I would have done something bad and good deeds. My next birth, if I don't realize because of this bad deeds, this is affecting me, how do I keep stopping bad deeds and develop good deeds and go towards the affection of God?
Good question. If I don't know what I did last time, and I did something last time, and what's going to stop me from continuing to do more bad things? If I don't know what I'm doing, there's a joke. I got lost in Ukraine somewhere. Somebody sent me a joke from some Jewish joke from New York or something. That if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. You know, it's a funny joke, you know. But it's funny. But when you're lost, it's not funny. You know? I was trying to go from one Devotee city to another Devotee city. We'll go through the villages. Right. We're not doing that again. We're going back to the main road. If I would have gone back to the main road, maybe 6 hours. But when I went through the villages, it took us 10 hours. You know? Before we finally got to where we're going, it took us 10 hours. Once burned, twice shy. No, I learned my lesson. If we don't know what we're doing, then how do we know going forward? We do simple activities in this life. How do we know how to do good deeds in this life? And how do we know what the result will be in the next life? Now, how do we know? How do we? What justifies us taking up what he said? What justifies good karma? If we don't know what bad karma is, what we've done bad, you know, then how do we? How do you know we're doing good? No? Yes? How do we know we're doing good if we don't know where we're going? If we don't know what we're doing, then how do we know if we're doing good? For the next slide. Is that it?
Exactly.
Is that it?
Yes.
If we did something in the past life, and we have no idea that combination of what we did good and what we did bad, how are we supposed to know how we're going forward? If we're doing right or wrong now. It says, in Namastakam Bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Prarabdha aprarabdha kichu nahi thake vedikai bar bar. There's a bhajan. The Sanskrit, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says that when the holy name rises up on the sunshine in the morning, Aruna, when the sun is just rising, then so many bad things become dispelled by this appearance of the sun. The darkness is dispelled. So in the same way, by the holy name's coming in the heart, then the bad things are dispelled. The bad things are prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. Karma from the past life, good and bad, and karma from this life, good and bad, both become destroyed. Now it said, in shloka number 4, it said, the Brahma bodies, the people that are interested in the supreme, but then the personal, they can destroy the past activities by jnana, but they cannot destroy the karma going forward by impersonal jnana. Whereas a devotee, by chanting Krishna's name, destroys both past and present karma by going forward. going forward by chanting Hare Krishna. So, right, so that's the answer. The answer is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, another, and it's Gaudrima Chandra Bhajana Upadesh. How to serve Lord Krishna Gauranga is Gaudrima Chandra. He says there, Harinama Shudara Samatma Tirupatiru. Ramani Jana Sangashi Kamchatiru. Yarite Hari Pada Saroda Sudara Safana Param Rudayam Sadatum. Parivritya Priyam Kali Bhava Mayam Bhaja Godha Makana Kunja Vidyam. Ramani Jana Sangashi Kamchasake Chakatiri. Charani Vaya Dham Purushartha Haram. Hari Nam Sudara Samatma Tirupatiru Bhaja Makana. Yet Kali Vasa, Nahi Kali Vasa, Kali Pavana Gola Rasa, Kali Vasa. Avamanya Gata, Avam Srila Naya, Vata Gola. Really good Sanskrit there. The, basically when I think about Namastakam, he said, Asubham, Chasubham, Chasasaro Vidam. Anukula Taya Priya Seva Naya, Vata Gola Makarna Kunja Vidam. What should be done and what should not to be done? Ashubham, chashubham. If something is auspicious or something is inauspicious, chajasarva vidham, give them both. Anukula taya priya sevanaya. Just do what is beneficial, which is favorable for Krishna. That is the criteria. And if you look at Manashiksha chapter, verse number 2, say the Smarta Vichar at that time when Raghunath wrote Manashiksha 450 years ago had a big stranglehold on Indian culture. So there was always fear. He said, Nadaramam Nadaramam Shruti Garanirukdam Kila Kuru Prajay Radha Krishna Prajara Puricharya Ihatunu. He says that whether you should do good activity or bad activity, you know, don't become bewildered by the flowery words of the Vedas that tell you to do this pious activity or that pious activity. Don't become fearful of that. Vijay Radha Krishna Prachara Puricharya Vihadunu. That's what the Supreme Personality brought it in this body. Don't worry about it. He says, just worship Radha Krishna. Just do Krishna Bhavaram, Gorna Tayapasana. Just do what is favorable. And you don't have to worry about the product and not product of the karma. Now, you have to keep up the sadhana. Saddhana iti sadhana. Your spiritual practices are your eternal wealth. See, if you have to keep it up, and then you don't have to worry. If you don't keep it up, then you have to worry. You follow my point? You follow my point?
Yeah.
If you do sadhana, then there is no worry. If you don't do sadhana, then there's nothing but worry. You know, it's very, someone heard another shloka that was pretty cool. In Chanakya Niti it says, if you control your mind and senses, your reputation follows you like your shadow. And if you do not control your mind and senses, your reputation follows you like your shadow. Both are true. Nyaya is like that. You know, Nyaya is like that. Or another far-out statement one sannyasi gave me that is based on the same nyaya twist. Tatra-gauryam, according to your greed, yatra-adhikara, then qualification will manifest. Okay? And then he smiled and he flipped it, because that's the nature of nyaya, logic. To just throw that idea on his head and, you know, twist your brain around it. You know? He said, yatra-adhikara, tatra-gauryam. According to qualification, you'll have greed or you won't have greed. According to greed, you'll get qualification. And according to your qualification, you may get greed or you may not greed. It was very interesting. When he told me that, I just chewed on that in mind for days. You know, that shloka was like, who said that? I go, wham, that's great. Who said that? Agyata Kavita. He says, my guru used to quote it. I have no idea where it's from, but it's cool. And I thought, wham, if I find it, if I find that Pramana, You know, the best is to find the number, find the source. But there's so many Agyatic Kavitas. Where did they get it? They got it from the Vijnana. But the bottom line is this. There was a sloka from Padyavali that if one chants Hare Krishna mantra, Padyavali, Guru Goswami Prabhupada says, then Brahmaji starts to make Madhuparka to worship as a person. And Chitragupta faints, who writes down the record of simple and biodetailed, Chitragupta faints. You know? And Brahmaji starts to, and the demigods, fear personified, looks reverently at his feet. And Brahma makes Madhuparka to worship him, or somebody who chants Krishna's name constantly. So chant Krishna's name constantly, and you don't have to worry about your karma. Now, what's interesting is that Chaitanya Charitamrita tells you that you should always remember individually. So you have institutional capacity and your private capacity. What you cannot do institutionally, you understand. It's like, you know, devotees like to quote this sloka, that Brahma-bhuta prasadatma, na sochati na kanchati. One who is transcendentally situated, right? Brahma-bhuta, who is situated in the divine platform. Na sojati, they never lament. Na kamshati, they never hanker. Samasaveshukuteshu, they're equal to all living entities. Madhbhakti lavate para. Right? They like to quote that sloka. As if all devotees are in that category. But they don't quote number 51 through 53. How you got there? How you become a Brahma-bhuta? You know, the mountain you gotta climb to become a Brahma-bhuta. They never quote that. It's like this, like Guru Maharaj is always joking about it, that in, I think it's chapter 2, sloka number 8, Niyatam Guru Karma Tvam Karma Chayam Karmanaha Sarvira Yatra Vichate Natra Siddhya Karmana. Perform your prescribed duties, for action is better than inaction. A man cannot maintain his body without work. So people like that. Krishna says in Gita, you should do your work. Is it not? But they won't quote the next shloka. That yagyartha karmana ayantra loko yam karmabandhana. You should do your work for Vishnu. Otherwise, it causes bondage. They're not going to quote that word. Arviko kutinyaya. Half a hand philosophy. This end of the chicken that we have to give grain, we don't want. But the end that gives the egg, that will take. You know, it's called article kutinyaya, right? So when they misquoting, they quote, they're selectively quoting the shloka because they have a motivation. God says we should do our work. Is it not? Yeah, but kis kiliye kaam karte baya? That they're not going to say. Kis kiliye kaam karte? Yagya. Yagya vai Vishnu. That they're not going to say. You see? So it's like that. And if you, this Padyavali, this is Rupa Goswami's shloka book, incidentally. He's cool. There's no poet in our Gaudiya line better than Rupa. So his shloka book is pretty cool. 368 shlokas, and they're all cool. Some he wrote, some of the people wrote. He got it from different people, he wrote their names, and some of them are just unknown, Agyatic Kavitas. But they're cool shlokas. Each one of them are neat, you know. Wow, it's like, ooh, you know, wow. You know? Bill Mangala Stava is also really cool. He was from a South Indian Brahmin family. He became corrupted by lust in his youth. And he plucked his eyes out, which we don't recommend. And he lived there in Davin and did Bhajan for 600 years, you know, on the bank of Ramakunda. And he must have had some disciples. He was like singing his poetry. And somebody was writing it down. And that's what we've got. And Gopal was coming to hear him, you know. And such a chatur fellow, you know. And finally, Gopal Mangala tried to grab it. And he slipped out of his hand. And Krishna Karnavati, he says, you may slip out of my hand. That doesn't impress me. If you can extract yourself from my heart, then I'll be impressed. He says, cool, shloka. Bilbo Mangala was really chatur, very smart. But a lot of his stuff in the 2nd century and 3rd century, my godbrother, I have a pundit godbrother for the BBT, he's doing it. And he's an old friend of mine, this godbrother. And he's sometimes, you know, when he's relishing the nectar of the shlokas, he would drop a few down the modem. You know, and I would get this shloka, ooh, you know, and relish it, you know. He would throw Many of them are Bhagavatam Shlokas. They're Shlokas who they, you know, they stole from other people, you know. A couple of them are going to Mala Shlokas, we'll get it there, you know, like that. The point is that in Sanskrit, there is no intellectual property rights. Free game. Everybody stole from everybody, you know. The whole point of Sanskrit was for liberation, right? Sanskriti iti Sanskrita. What is actually written properly is Sanskrit. And there is no, it was given by Bhagavan with an honor. There was no, you know, everybody stole from everybody, and there's no problem. And you take what you want, and you know, drink what you want, and there's no problem. Do you understand the point?
Yeah.
If you do sadhana, we're all right. And if you don't, that, by the grace of the Lord, I got another thing for you. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 25, verse 278. It says, this is Tripadi. Tripadi basically means singing. In Bhagavad Gita, Tripadi, it means singing. Yaya Lila Rita Vine, Kaya Yadi Annapane, Tavi Bhaktena Durbala Jivan, Yaya Kabindu Pane, Utvalita Tonumane, Asikai Kariye Nartan. Very sweet story. Men in this world generally live by eating food grains, but a devotee who doesn't eat the food grains of Gauranga's and Krishna's katha, Tavi Bhaktena Durbala Jivan, their life is very difficult. But yari eka bindu pane, if they would take one drop, utvalita tunamani, the body and the mind will blossom like a flower. And hasi, they will laugh. And gai, they'll sing. And kariye nartan, they'll dance in ecstasy. This is called a normal devotee. If we don't laugh, sing, and dance, we're weird. Something must be, you know, some screws must be loose. Chagalakina bole, chagalakina kai. Madmen can speak anything bad and goats can hear anything. You know? If you're not laughing, singing, or dancing, then we must have a few screws loose. Every one of us is better than some of us than others. You know? Well, they say, either he is transcendental or he's a madman. Right? Either you're a pagal or you're a transcendental man. Who is happy in this world? Only a transcendentalist or a pagal? Nobody else. Happiness into the world. Only a transcendentalist or a bundle, you know? Nobody else can be happy here, you know? You understand? That shows is pretty good. Yari, you know? Tavi Bhaktera Jorbala Jivan. If you don't hear and chant the nectar of Krishna, then your life is definitely in trouble. Prabhupada translated there that you can fall down. You can actually go that far, you can fall down. But yada eka bindu pani, transcendental nature is so sweet. Even one drop. Whatever you memorize, it's great. About Gornatai, Jagannath, just memorize it, drink it, chant it. Put fully the tongue money. That the nature is so good, you'll sing, dancing. You'll hussy, you'll laugh, guy, you'll sing, and kari e nartan, you'll dance. You understand? If you do that, you're okay. And if you don't do that, you know. One thing is for sure. Even if a devotee, like I quote the short, right? Even if the devotee chants Hare Krishna and dies, then Puman Nayati Yatana, such a person doesn't fall into a bad destination. So if you associate with devotees and you walk out of this building and you get hit by a truck in Sharjah, for example, right? Still, that devotee is better situated than, even if you have to take birth again, then, you know, you take birth better than where you were. You know, anything is better than where you were. Once there's a girl who left her body recently in South Africa. Basically, she was killed. Some taxi wala raped her and killed her or something like that. So, she must have been chanting the Sringa Day then. But her relatives were asking about destination, who knows? Yes, like one devotee. That, what was his name? He was a devotee from his community. He left his body. Shamari. Huh? Shamari. Shamari left his body. So he's very sweet fellow. So I quote the shloka from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antikama chapter 3, number 486. When Gauranga is having a sampad with his shloka, and he says, Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti, will somebody come to perfect the heart? Some say, we may have a devil, Chuta Sevya, in the service of infallible Lord of Chuta. Nisan Sayat, but don't have a doubt. Stuttabi Bhakta, those who are servants, Parichari Ratatman, who have developed an attachment for service. When you serve devotees, then there is no doubt. And on your own endeavor, are you going to become liberated or not? We may have a doubt. But if you serve devotees, there is no doubt. So that was one thing I quoted to them. And another thing I said, look, anything is better than South Africa. You know? You know, your daughter, wherever she's gone, that she is gone, Krishna will put them in another body. It's going to be much better than South Africa, so don't worry about that. You know? Even if she's a bhajan's a bhakta, she had to take her to get it. No big deal. You know? And if she's thinking of, you know, when you're scared to death, when somebody's ready to kill you, you know, then you're definitely thinking in a shrine, you know? Right? So, you know, even if she was being killed, she must have been thinking of Krishna really, really strong. And if you think of Krishna well, then you go to Krishna. Your body may be killed. Like, my God, there was one God sister. Her name was, she left on Indira Ekadasi Day in 1990 in Liberia at war. She was shot. Her name was Ladini, great God sister. Highly absorbed in Jagannath, highly absorbed in Gurnatai, and she was shot. So Radha Swami was giving a lecture, and he said, well, you may say that Krishna didn't preserve her body, so maybe he didn't help her. But he definitely helped her Baba, that's for sure. She never forgot Krishna. That was definitely him. The yantra, the material body, that can be the machine, that can be thrown. Because it will. The material body will do it. But how did if you chant the holy name and then die, you're free from falling into a bad situation. Okay? So keep the name and the tongue. Everything else is stolen at the time of death. Okay? If you keep the name and the tongue, then don't worry about it. And if you want to make sure that you really don't have to worry about it, then chant the holy name and serve her. Haridas Thakur said that. It's very chatur. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Antimeva 3.137. First verse. Nirantara Nam Lal. Chant Krishna's name constantly. Kara Du. Tulsi Sevara. Serve Tulsi Rami. Acharya Pavitavya Krishna Racharam. Very quickly you'll get what Krishna's going to say. Sasta. Sasta and Varya. Cheap and best. Sasta or Varya. Good idea. Yeah. Little scrap. Yeah, right. Okay. That's it. No more questions. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Five
questions? That's all we got? All we got is 5 questions. Calvia. This is something to pass out. Okay, this is distribution. It's time to go. Who got here? Cow?
Because everybody to come forward from the chat.
My car goes, who got here?
We have a, I was from a, in early days of ISKCON, I was a cook. So we used to have a joke that, Sabji come, hey, Pani Dalo. Dalo come, hey, Pani Dalo. Lassi come, hey, Pani Dalo. Kuch bhi come, hey, Pani Dalo. So in the same way, come, hey, Pani Dalo. When you're hungry, drink water. Basically, it's true proud. You know, just be quiet, leave me alone.